Howdy, y'all. Welcome back to the podcast. Well, now, we got our friend Damien here, and he's going to tell us a bit about himself.
I really like that voice change.
How you guys doing? Well, I just got back from Texas, guys, so I picked up a little bit of an accent while I was down there.
I can't.
Didn't you go to Arizona? Didn't you pick up an accent too?
They didn't have an accent out there, and they thought I was from another country. The guy goes, "Really? What country are you from?" And I'm like, "New Jersey."
So this one, USA.
Well, first of all, the waitress didn't want to serve me because did I tell you guys this?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well,
the waitress did. I sit down and I go.
Man, y'all city folk talk too fast.
Yeah, I go. Can I sit over here? I want to charge my phone. All right, no problem. I'll get you a waitress. And I see him whispering over there. She looks over and then he comes up back and goes, "She doesn't want to serve you. She's scared." And I went, "Are you wow. serious?"
Did you show the wedding ring?
I had the ring on, yeah, but I guess I got the shaved head, so I look like a serial killer, right?
Oh, I remember you telling me that, like, women are scared of you until they see that the ring, and they're like, "Oh, this guy."
Then
they
open somebody.
Yeah. Oh, the ring is great, man. I talk to more women now than ever.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not threatening. You know, I'm not like, hey, if somebody's willing, I'm marrying the bald guy with the crazy eyes.
Well, women tend to shy away from me. That's like the point where they say bye.
Because you have a ring.
Yeah. It's like they see the ring and they're like, forget it.
They want to be friends with me.
Oh, okay.
They just want to do you. And then they see they don't have a chance.
You know what? I'm the worst when it comes to clues. When a girl tries to drop a clue on me, I'm like, I really don't know. I'm sorry. I mean, they see the ring. I'm like, all right, talk to you later. I really didn't know it was because they wanted to have some kind of interaction with me on that level. I really didn't.
I'm bad with that too. I used to be really bad in high school. Like back in high school, I feel bad, and every time I think back on this memory, I just want to slap my past self. But this girl used to be really into me, and she would try to talk to me. And being that I was like shy and socially awkward and bullied all the time, I didn't know how to react. So I would literally shut down. I would like put my hands in front of me and just like pretend to fall asleep while she was talking.
Oh my God.
It was bad. And she finally gave up after like a year of trying to talk to me.
Wow.
Clearly,
she's somewhere out there right now talking about you, going, "Yeah, I would put this guy to sleep when I was talking about
this
I don't know
fucking
why.
Weirdo."
Either that or he had narcolepsy.
You know what? You probably scarred her for life. Now she can't talk to guys.
Right.
Because you were the first one she experimented on, and now it all went sour,
yeah.
And she doesn't know what she's doing wrong.
Confidence destroyed.
I mean, the same thing happened with me. I mean, I had a lot of girls after high school go, "Oh my gosh, you know, so many girls had a crush on you in high school." And I'm like, "Well, what the fuck? Well, why didn't they tell me?" "Oh, well, they gave you clues." I'm like, "Well, what the fuck's a clue? Yeah. What do you mean they gave me a clue?" It's like, "You remember when that girl asked you, like, help with math?" I was like, "I thought she needed help with math." "She got an A in the course." Like, how the fuck am I supposed to know that? I'm not going to say, "Hey, show me your grades. Let me see if you need help." You know what I mean? I'm like, wait, I didn't know. I had no idea. And I was just clueless a lot of times. You know, and if a female would say, "Hey, to me, it's just being polite, you know?"
Right.
"Hi." Yeah. You know, and there was a lot of guys, a lot of my friends
down
that they
Texas,
would say.
We say howdy.
Huh?
Down in Texas, we say howdy.
Howdy. Well, you know what? A lot of my friends went, "Man, she likes you." Like, "No, man, just being nice. A girl can't say hi without not liking you." I was like, "Man, every girl wants to fucking have to want you if they say something to you." They're like, "Yeah," and a lot of them go with that mentality.
It's funny because there are people out there like, as soon as any interaction with a female is like, "Oh, she fucking wants
she
me.
Wants
yeah,
me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
She
like,
wants
just,
me.
They just look at the guy like, "Oh, she's here. She looked at me. She wants to fuck
she,
me.
She wants
like,
to fuck me."
She was looking at you because you look like an asshole dressed the way you are. She's wondering why the fuck you don't
you
have
mean,
a mirror.
You, exactly. You mean to tell me I can't go into a restaurant with like 18 buttons unbuttoned in my deep seated V-neck? Okay, moving on.
Right. So, Damien.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, why you joined the job, how long you've been on?
Let's see, why did I join the job? Let me see. All right, so when I was about 19 years old, my godfather said, "Hey, listen, I just saw this ad in the paper. Oh, the fire department is hiring." "Well, the fire department?" I mean, like, "Well, what do they do besides, like, run into fires?" So, like, I don't know. He's like, "Oh, you should go over there by the post office and
wait, hold on,
check it out."
What do they do besides? Why, that wasn't enough for you?
I mean, honestly, that's all I thought they did.
Right, you know, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Stuff like that, man. And things you see on TV. Oh, cat out of a tree.
Right,
isn't
yeah.
that? But I'm like, I mean, I'm not afraid of heights and everything like that.
Honestly,
so.
I'm pretty disappointed that I haven't seen a Dalmatian yet here.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
bring
I,
one
I,
in.
I know some friends that actually went on calls and into sewers. And you went actually one on one, right? Not too long
ago. I was in a sewer, yeah.
Nice.
The person called for like a cat that went in the sewer or something. Yeah, we lifted the sewer grate up. I had to go in the sewer.
Wow. How was that?
We were trying to close the lid on the sewer.
it was smelly.
Just leave them down there.
Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah, but
people call for the strangest things.
Yeah. Oh, you're not kidding.
So you saw the ad, and then...
So I saw the ad. I decided to go down to the post office, and I was like, all right, I'll sign up. You know, I didn't think anything of it. You know, I was playing baseball at the time, so I was like, whatever. Man, if something comes about this, cool. If not, whatever. Then, you know, I got the thing... I got the letter in the mail talking about the test, and there was also information out there that you can actually take some courses leading up to the test, how you should answer, how you shouldn't answer certain questions, you know, to help you out. Because it's like, so some of the questions is like, all right, what would you do if someone's doing laundry and there's laundry in there?
And you need to do it,
and what would you do? And the A, B, C, D, and it's like, I'll fold it for them. I'll tell them to take it out.
I would tell the captain. Right. I'll throw it in the trash.
Or how about this other question? Like, all right, it's your turn to cook dinner. And you say, all right, guys, spaghetti and meatballs. And then one of your firefighter buddies say, spaghetti and meatballs again? That's all you do is cook spaghetti and meatballs. And what do? A, cook something else. B, cook spaghetti and meatballs, but cook something different for them. C, send them to hell. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it was a class.
There's always one that says report it to your captain.
Everything was like a snitch, like a snitch
right.
answer.
I don't think that's the right answer, right?
I don't think it is either.
I think you're supposed to handle it with the person. They want to see that you're able to handle shit on your own.
Yeah.
Without, hey, Cap, you know, there's laundry.
I'm telling.
I mean, these questions sound exaggerated or... and whatnot, but there are a lot of questions exactly phrased like that.
That was the bio data, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you watch the video?
Yes.
Yeah.
The scenario
I
questions.
Know about that because I was one of the test subjects to watch it. They were testing that to see how...
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they sent me down. I said, why am I taking a entry exam? I'm on the job already. It was just to see how it applied to...
It got to the point where it was just draining to the point where...
Yeah, they have like 50 of those questions.
Yeah, where by the time, you know, they say A, B, C, D, and then when they get to D, you're like, wait a minute, what was A, B, and C now?
Right.
So it's like, I was like, man, and you just try to pick the best one because like you start to lose... I mean, I start to lose focus. I'm terrible with long exams. Terrible.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys on the job are like that. All of us are.
Like SATs? Terrible. Yeah. You know what I just found out like not too long ago? I didn't know that you could take different parts of the SATs, and let's say you did real good in math this time, but did poorly the next time, they'll take your best math score.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, I would have just focused on math this one time. Right. Then I would have just focused on the reading this next time.
First time I ever heard it.
I had no idea. A buddy of mine told me, and I was like, are you kidding me, man? I could have did a lot better in the SATs. But I tried. You know, and every time I took the SATs, it was always a nice day, summertime, looking outside. Like, I want to get out of here. 3 hours in a test? Like, who wants to be here?
It's funny, though, thinking back on when you took the SATs. That was so long ago, and now it doesn't really seem like it really impacted your future all that much, right?
Yeah, it really didn't, you know?
But, like, back then, it seemed like the biggest...
And I was a big procrastinator, too. And it was kind of like a big deal. And I didn't start taking school seriously until, like, my senior year. And it was like... You know, I got to bring up my GPA. You know, I started actually doing good in school. I was trying to bring up my SATs and try to get into, like, a better school for baseball. But, I mean, everything actually worked out because just because you don't do it in high school, that doesn't mean it's the end. Yeah, it's a good start. You know, right. I try to tell, like, my younger family members, like, it starts now.
Yeah.
You know, you start doing good, now you get into a good college. But that doesn't mean that that's the end. You can still go to community college.
Look at you now. You're always... studying.
Oh my gosh,
you're on the job now. You know?
I hate it.
It seems like you, like, based on what you're telling us, it's like a complete 180.
From
the way it used to be. Now, maybe because you became a fireman, something clicked, and you're like, you feel more capable, maybe more confidence that you could actually apply yourself.
And it's also knowing what you want to do. You know, a lot of this, too. And I had this conversation with, I think, my pops the other day. I was like, you know, a lot of kids 18 years old, they don't know what they want to do.
Nah, right.
I mean, you think, 18-year-old knows what they want to do in life, and they got to pick a major right then and there.
Yeah, and
what winds up happening?
Sending them to school for $50,000 a year.
Send them to school $50,000 a year, right? So now they're in their first year. They're in their second year. They're going to go start taking their major classes. You know what? I don't like this class. You know, I want to start doing this. And the college is like, yeah, change your major. Matter of fact, keep doing. We'll encourage you. Matter of fact, take this class. Oh, you don't like that? Here, take this. Yeah. And then $50,000 turns to $150,000.
Right.
And then before you know, you're taking all these classes, incomplete withdrawals.
Yeah.
And
you're 30, and you didn't get... You graduate, yeah.
You're 30 and you didn't graduate, and you're a professional student.
Right.
For those of you in debt, I think another firefighter told me this, but there is a program. I'm not sure if it only applies to like state and government employees, but there is a program where if you make consecutive payments for
10 years, right?
I'm not sure if it was 10 years or X amount, the rest of the debt is forgiven.
Is forgiven. Yeah, it's called loan forgiveness, if I'm not mistaken. I thought it applies to teachers. First responders, yeah, after 10 years, if you do consecutive payments, like, don't miss at all, then your loan can be forgiven. But at that point, I mean, I'm completely done with my payments. I don't know. I might have to do the math.
That sounds like a plan that might be on the chopping block with the new administration.
Really?
Right?
I mean, you never know. I mean, anything could be on the chopping block. I mean, you're right. Well, one of the things that I'm actually worried about is, you know, I actually decided to go back to school, and they talked about maybe the education incentive will no longer be there. And I'm like, well, man, I'm already taking my classes. I'm almost done.
Right.
You know, I'm already more than halfway through. Don't take the incentive away, because now, like, what was the point of me going to school?
Right.
Then another guy told me, he said, hey, don't worry about it, man. You already started taking classes. You might be grandfathered in, being that you're already halfway complete.
Yeah.
They can't just take that away from you.
But back on to topic, you were saying how your grandfather was telling you about the job.
Oh, it was actually my godfather. So,
I just applied. Thought that we fought fires and then...
Yeah, I really didn't know too much about it. I mean, you know, I applied and I took the test and... did the physical. I really got up for the physical too. I was in my early 20s, man, still playing baseball, and I actually did the practice course a couple of times. They actually offered it. I don't know if they offered it when you were getting on, but they actually offered the practice course. So I ran it.
The physical.
Yeah, the physical portion.
When you run through.
Yeah. So I mean, the first time I did it, I actually just wanted to know how it felt with the vest.
Yeah.
Everything that I was doing, I wasn't going for time. Just wanted to walk through it, see if I could just cross the line, walking through it, asking questions. I did. Got like a 353. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to come back. I'm not going to do it now, so I'm going to come back a couple of days. So I did. So 353 turned into like, I think, 325. Then 325 turned into 305. Then 305 turned into 253. So that was the last time I took it before I actually went for the exam. So when I took the actual exam, I was happy to point out that I actually got 249, which is good. Everybody's saying under three is great, under three is great. 249, I'm like, yeah, I'm golden, I'm in, you know? And unfortunately, I had to take it again. And that time around is when I was actually able to get on. But between the time that I took it the first time and the second time, I had already accomplished so much. I mean, I wasn't even in school the first time I took it. I went back to Union County and got my associate's degree.
Right.
From there, I went to Rutgers, got my bachelor's. So by the time I got hired here, I already had my bachelor's. I was already working at a company for 9 years, you know. So between having that and having this, now I have both jobs.
Right, yeah.
So I actually got lucky. So, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm not upset, you know. I'm not upset.
If it didn't happen that way, you might have never did school.
I might have just been a firefighter and that's it.
Right, yeah.
Living because it up.
You'd say, hey, this is good enough.
Yeah, right. Might have.
Which happens to a lot of people. Like, it kind of happened to me, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted to go back, and I never did. And then next thing I know, I got 15 years on the job. And I'm like, holy shit, I never, wow, that happened fast.
Yeah, I mean, there's things in life that, you know, lead up to an event. And things happen, I mean, I know it's cliche, you know, things happen for a reason. But, you know, I really do believe that things do happen for a reason.
Yeah, because it seems that way.
If the events didn't play out the way they played out, I mean, maybe I wouldn't have been in the position that I am now. So, I'm not mad about it.
Right.
I'm not mad about it. So now I'm doing the master's thing. You know, I'm seven classes in already. I'm done.
Yeah, so now classes. You were telling us about a class that you were taking that correlates with the firefighting job.
Yeah. This class is actually for pretty much geared towards first responders and the stressors that they deal with in their everyday, you know, life, everyday work life. You know, whether it's a teacher, you know, dealing with a student, that they probably don't understand why the student's acting like that. and they get deeper into it and they realize why the student's acting out. I actually had a friend where, same situation, he had a student who was acting out and he was angry at the student, he's not listening, until he actually said, you know what, let me dig deeper into this. And he found out that the kid, you know, he was come from a troubled home. So that kind of put a soft spot in his heart. You know, let me help. Instead of like beating down on his kid and jumping all over and writing him off, because that's what's happening at home, let me try to help him, you know? And then it went a long way. He said he made strides with the kid, could actually start doing better, kind of like look forward to coming to school, you know, because, you know, being at home wasn't the best environment.
Right.
And he was stressed out about it too. You know, he was like, what do I do? And I mean, I could have offered any professional help. This is even before I got on here. And I'm like, man, because you could just do the best you can. I mean, I really didn't have answers for that. So this class was geared towards dealing with stresses, breathing exercises, doing yoga, Qigong, I think.
Qigwando.
Qigwando. It might be that. It was yoga, and Tai Chi. Nah, but this was more of like a meditation. You
guys physically practice this stuff?
Well, this is an online course, they basically sent you videos.
Okay.
And different YouTube links that you can actually follow, with, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, somewhere like even 40 or into an hour. Okay, so it was between those three things that you have to pick as a form of exercise, and they had breathing exercises. And basically, what this was supposed to do is stimulate your mind, stimulate the body, kind of like relax you. You know, it's kind of like before you go into a situation, you take a deep breath, compose yourself, you know, gather your thoughts, and then go right back in it. So that's what this class is about, and it was actually a real good class. I mean, one of the easiest classes I took. All you had to do was be yourself and be honest.
All you had to do was breathe.
Try to follow the different steps that they were telling you to follow, and that's it. And then do the assignments, respond to other students' responses. And just do your assignments. I mean, the final assignment that we had was they wanted you to talk about an experience at your job. So me being a firefighter, a ton of experience. So I talked about how it almost felt like I was not human, or I had no feelings when I first started this job, because we would go on calls and stone cold face, you know, all right, what's the issue? What's going on? How can we help? Nothing bothered me. You know, even the first 6 weeks, I had... You know, deaths that I responded to didn't bother me. We tried to do the best that we could to try to help the guy. They didn't bother me. So this particular situation that I wrote about was when we responded. And being that I just wrote this, I kind of remember it was November 15th, 2015. So I got on the line on October 1st. So this is like exactly 6 weeks. Doesn't mean that I had 6 weeks worth of experiences. You're talking about in a matter of 6 weeks, how many shifts do you work? 10, 11?
Yeah.
About give that, or take. Right. I mean, maybe a little more. So, typical, you know, it was like a motor vehicle accident, a pedestrian got hit by a car. I was like, all right, cool. So we get there. And it was around the time that it was already getting dark outside. It was like 5. I think daylight savings time already happened by this point. So it's like already like 5 o'clock. It's already dark. You know, street lights are on. And we get to the scene. And you know what the funny part was? When we were in the academy, they would talk about how you're going to get to a scene, and there's going to be people that's going to be frantic and screaming. My baby's inside. Their baby could be a cat. You know, no. You know, things like that. You know, and they say, you know what? You just got to tell the person to calm down. He goes, because we have to work controlled in chaotic situations.
Right.
I'm like, I got this. It is what it is. I mean, I understand. You know, people are going to get frantic. I'm not going to lose my cool. Man, I get there. There's about 80 people outside, and I'm like, damn, I've never seen this many people at a scene before, right? So as I'm approaching, I see this lady screaming. They're holding her back. My baby. I couldn't really see what was going on. There was so many people. I'm like, excuse me, let me get through. Get there, man. You see a kid bleeding through his nose and his mouth. There was an off-duty firefighter. I don't think he worked with us, but it was an off-duty firefighter that just happened to pass by. So he was helping out, stabilizing the kid's head, right? Kid was unconscious, lady screaming. At that moment, like, I froze. Don't know for how long. Could have been maybe for a second, maybe 3 seconds, maybe 5 seconds. But I froze. And in slow motion, like, I'm looking at the kid, then I'm looking at the mom. Looked at the kid, looked at the mom. And I had that oh shit moment. You know, the moment that they were talking about in the academy.
Right.
You know, so kind of like snapped out of it and went right to my captain and said, what should I do? Go grab a backboard. All right, cool. So I'm not speed walking. I'm jogging close to running back to the truck to get a backboard. Ran back, helped the kid get on, helped the EMS, put him in the ambulance. And then that was all that we could do at that moment. But the rest of the day, I was messed up. You know, I kept asking the captain, how's this kid doing? How's this kid doing? How's this kid doing? And I think I asked him about 3 or 4 times throughout the night. And then he said, still no word, still no word. Then, you know, I put the TV on, and then News 12, boom, there we are. There we are, putting the kid on the backboard and the stretcher. And I'm like, oh, man. You know, and then they just said, still no status on how the kid's doing. And I'm like, until like 6 o'clock in the morning came, the captain's like, hey. I'm like, yeah. He's like, think he's gonna make it. Don't know in what condition, but he might survive.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. You know, and that one really hit home. That's the one that I wrote about. I mean, I could have wrote about other ones, but I guess the purpose of this class was you learned the different breathing exercises, you learned the different meditations, right? Now, if this situation were to happen again, would you have approached it differently? And my answer was no. I don't think I could have. I mean, yes, I froze for a second or two, but I mean, I sprung to action. I went right to my captain and said, "What do I do?" He told me what needed to be done, and I got the job done.
Well, so, did they mean approach it differently in terms of actually your what you did on, you know, with your work? Your
job? Well, with the course, or like, they mean like mentally? From like mentally. Mentally, would I have reacted different?
Okay.
Being, right. You know, with the yoga and the meditation and everything like that, if I would have approached the job, if that specific situation, would I have approached it differently? And right. My answer was no, I don't think anything could have prepared me for that, no matter how much yoga I've done. All right, I'm serious.
Right. Just bust out a yoga mat in the middle of this call.
Like, take a deep breath. No, I had a nephew that, I think it hit me hard because I had a nephew that age. You know, and that's when I was like, oh, man, this could have easily been my nephew. The kid kid was playing after school. And he ran in between cars. Like I said, it was dark. Ran in between cars. This car was coming. Didn't see the kid. Hit him. It was an accident.
Right.
You know, and it was just scary. Scary
to get everybody has some type of child in their life, whether it's one of their own or it's a nephew or whatever. So, yeah, that's the first thing. When you see something like that, you correlate it to something in your life. And you think about somebody that's close to you. Like, imagine if that was my...
Exactly.
Insert child, you know.
Whatever. Yeah, and a lot of guys that's been on a job before me, and they pull me to the side and say, "Hey, do you need to talk about this? How was this situation for you? You know, talk to us." And I'd rather talk to somebody like that that's been a part of it or has experienced it with me versus going to a professional. What's the stuff that they have? Care, or
care.
It's called care, right? Where you go and you can talk to like a professional about what the things that a first responder sees, and it's kind of like getting it off your chest in a sense to make you feel better, right? No, I'd rather talk to my fellow firefighter brothers and say, hey, this is what I'm experiencing, this is how I feel, and they can in turn tell me, hey, this happened to me too, and this situation happened when I first got on. You're not alone,
right?
You know, and feeling like you're not alone. In what you're experiencing, it goes a long way because you guys can relate to each other. And I mean, that's all the therapy I really need, you know, so far.
Right, right. Yeah.
In my short career.
I mean, going back to that whole thing you said earlier about in the academy, how they told you that people will be frantic at the scene. They'll say, like, my baby, and it turns out to be a cat. I was actually working a swap this past shift, and we got a phone call, or we got a dispatch to this woman's house, and she was just like bawling her eyes out. Well, we had to try to rescue her pet parrot from a tree because apparently it flew for the first time and it was too scared to come back down. She was pretty frantic about the bird. So, I mean, trying to get a parrot out of a tree, that wasn't exactly like how you think it would.
Yeah.
We put the aerial up. I climbed up there. I grabbed the pike pole because the branch was too far away for me to like just reach out. So I grabbed it and I started moving the branch towards me. But it slipped, and then, like, it bounced the bird back.
Oh, really? Like a catapult?
So I kind of, like, slingshotted the bird in a panic, and it, like, flew to another tree. So we had to take the aerial down. We moved it to that other tree.
Oh, my God.
And then we set it back up trying to get this bird. But when we were getting the ladder up, it hit another branch, and it startled the bird again. So it flew to another tree. So then after that, it was like, yeah, we're not going to be here all day doing this.
So what wound up happening?
We ended up telling the ladies that, hey, I mean, it's a bird. It's going to fly down eventually. There's nothing we can really do because it's just going to keep getting startled. And we just suggested, hey, just lay out some food and hopefully he comes down, you know? Cause
now, before that happened, like I know with me, if it was me to go up and grab that bird, I already predetermined what's going to happen or play out different options of what can happen when I get up there.
I was just worried about the bird shitting in my face. I was
glad. That's what you're worried about. See, me, I think I'd be worried about, I get up there, all right, come on, bird, let's go. I finally get to the branch, and it gets scared, opens up his wings, and starts running towards me, you know, and probably fucking me up, because, you know, parrots.
Peck your eyes up.
Yeah, or something, you right. know. I don't know if it has, parrots do have claws, right?
Talons, yeah.
They do, right?
Big ones.
If you don't, clip, I don't even know if you can clip them. Like, yeah, I know what a cat, you could defang a cat.
I had a friend who had a beautiful macaw. What, you know what a macaw is? Those are the ones that talk. It sounded just like him, too. Mm-hmm. It was weird. And the dummy, they have flight feathers in their wings. And what you're supposed to do is clip them, and they can't fly.
Yeah.
Well, this dummy's like, no, that's not right. You know, that's cruel to the animal. Let its feathers grow. And then he puts this parrot on his shoulder, goes outside to smoke a cigarette, and the bird goes, see you later, asshole, and flies away. And it's up in the tree looking down. He's like, come back. And then it just kept flying away, and it was gone. And it was like probably like a $2,000 bird, too.
Wow.
And he had it for a long time, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think it was, his name was Marley. He named him after Bob Marley.
Hey.
I think he was going outside to smoke something besides a cigarette, too.
Let me tell you something. At least that bird went out.
The funny thing is that bird's flying around town now, just like speaking in his voice to people.
Yeah. So. Right.
It's just that bird that lingers around the city.
I don't know about him.
It has no owner.
A bird that...
It's just a bird flying around.
From South America living in North Jersey. I don't think
it's just a bird like flying around cameras like, hey, kid, you want to buy some Virginia Slims?
My goodness.
Why is that bird talking to me?
Did you ever have to save a pet?
Yeah, actually, when you mean on the job?
Anytime. I mean,
when I was a kid, I got a cat out of the tree. My third grade teacher's cat.
Really,
dude, I was taken care of the rest of the year. She because I wasn't a good student, but she even told the story in class. She's like, he climbed up the tree with a pillowcase. But when I got up there, I went, oh, well, how am I supposed to get the cat into the pillowcase? I held a branch with like my neck, like this, and I balanced myself and grabbed the cat, went like that, and got the cat in, and climbed down.
What?
I wasn't that high up, but if I fell, I would have got hurt.
Now,
definitely.
When she told the story versus you actually being in the story, did she tell it like a lot more like glamorous, like you were a real hero?
Yeah, I didn't even think about the part with the cat. I didn't even think about it. I was like, yeah, I was just stabilizing. She's like, he was supporting himself with his neck, and I'm like, yeah, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Next thing I know, my grades started just edging up, and I'm like, yeah, right.
That's the difference of you writing a paper and then your teacher like writing a paper. Like, you wrote the paper. Yeah, I went up and I saved the cat.
Yeah.
No, you should have seen him. He climbed up. He balanced himself. He reached out with his right hand, held the pillowcase in his left hand, and it was like poetic how the cat jumped into his arms. And then, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you're like, wow.
Yeah.
And then all the kids are like, ooh.
Right, yeah.
She
totally pumped me up. Yeah, I was living the life.
Speaking of rescue,
still couldn't hook up with any chicks though. Third grade though.
Speaking of rescuing animals, remember that fire a couple months ago when TJ rescued that chicken?
Oh my yeah. gosh, right. What a funny story!
Yeah,
you wanna tell you something. Look, I was actually on the outside. I mean, for someone that was inside, I guess you guys could better tell it than me, but I just thought it was hilarious.
I didn't even see it happen. I heard about it later.
I heard about it later, too. And then it's like, you know, the joke started flying with chickens, you know, and TJ with chickens as far as Photoshopping and everything. And, and then I remember someone saying, like, why do they keep Photoshopping this? Like, and what's so funny? You didn't hear? I'm like, no. Oh, man. So there was a fire, and they went to evacuate the people out, and apparently these people had, like, a farm in their apartment. Like, what the hell you mean
they had
farm?
Two chickens,
they
right?
had a whole bunch of animals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then he's carrying one kid out, and as he's carrying the kid out, he feels a tug on his coat. Right? He doesn't think anything by it. He keeps going. Kid's feeling tug, tug, tug. He goes, what the hell's going on? I'm saving this kid. Why does he keep on pulling on my coat? He looks down. It's a freaking chicken pecking at him the whole damn time.
Right.
You know? It's like, what do you do?
Hey, and why isn't chicken pecking, you know, in a fire? I don't...
And you know what? You know, they say animals do sense things, you
right.
know? So
I guess
maybe
like
it was scared.
Him.
Maybe it wanted to get off.
Right.
I mean, I think the kid was holding the chicken. So the chicken was like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to go out fighting. You know? Like,
right.
I don't know what was going through the chicken's mind, but...
The chicken was on his shoulder or something.
I think he was carrying.
Oh, the kid was holding the chicken.
The kid was holding the chicken. He was carrying the kid. Not the. probably looking down the steps like, I hope I don't fall with this kid in my arms. Yeah, you know, right. Let me look at each step, and all of a sudden it's like peck, 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 peck. Why is this kid pulling on my coat? I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know how I would have reacted. Maybe just, you know, kept it moving or something. But
I remember at this other fire, it was at an apartment building, and after we had the fire pretty much knocked down, my buddy George, he comes up to me. He came on with me at the same time. He comes up to me. He's like, oh, man, there was this cat on the fourth floor. The whole apartment was filled with smoke. I felt bad for it. So I try to, like, rescue it. And he goes to grab the cat. He starts bringing it down the stairs. But when he's halfway down the stairs, the cat, like, bites his thumb and runs off. And he's like, oh, man, I feel so bad. What if the owner can't find him now? So right after he tells me this, like, 10 seconds later, the owner comes. He's like, hey, excuse me, I live on the fourth floor. Did you guys happen to see a cat up there? And we're just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he fucking bit me. Yeah, and the asshole ran that way.
Yeah, you know? On the lookout for, like, a black cat or something.
Be on the lookout for a black cat. You know what I mean? I love animals. I know people aren't really too fond of them. But, you know, you try to do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, to some people, like, their animals are family.
You're absolutely right. You know, I think we spoke a little bit about that earlier, how that they, you know, a lot of people think, you know, in their mind, look, this is a family. They've grown to be a part of our family. You know, they have that that sense of, like, family with their animals. You know, they come, that's my baby, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I get it. I get it. So,
yeah,
that was great on Paul Nett. So, kind of looking forward to this weekend.
Oh, yeah? What's coming up this weekend?
It's weekend. It's going to be the St. Paddy's Day parade coming up. It's going to be the third time I attend. Haven't missed one yet. Don't plan to miss one throughout my career. I mean, if I ever have to work that day, I'm going to try my hardest to get off. But it's a day that I really look forward to. It's kind of like the day of the year that I'm most excited about. apart from like, you know, anniversaries with the wife and birthdays and things like that. But I'm talking about, like, holiday.
Yeah.
This is not even a holiday, and I consider it like a holiday. It's, like, better than New Year's, you know what I mean? And I guess the way I can explain it is the camaraderie that you have with the guys on the job. And it's just like, you know, the brotherhood. Everybody gets together. Everybody's having a great time. You're all celebrating. A lot of laughs. Hopefully not too many cries, if at all. But we have an overall great time, and it's something that I look forward to. You know, I started that, started going from year one, and like I said before, I plan to continue this, so this is something I'm really looking forward to. It's coming up this weekend, so hopefully, you know, everybody comes out. Yeah, can't wait. I really can't wait.
All right, with that, we hope you all have a great weekend and a wonderful St. Paddy's Day, hopefully as crazy and awesome as the one we're about to have.
Yes.
Till next time, stay hungry, guys.
Take care.